Hello, thanks for listening. If you were listening to the first segment of the show, you heard me talking about a gentleman who had his flight canceled with less than 4 hours notice. He was supposed to be flying from Yellowknife to Calgary in mid-June, had his flight canceled due to quote unquote crew constraints. And he filed an application for compensation online as he was instructed to do. And 6 weeks later, lo and behold, he was told that since your Air Canada flight was delayed or canceled due to crew constraints resulting from the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on our operations, the compensation you are requesting does not apply because the delay or cancellation was caused by a safety-related issue. For me, this sounds completely bonkers. Crew constraints, safety-related issues. For me, I can't wrap my head around how ill-conceived planning on an airline's part, apparently, leads to safety issues that means that they don't need to compensate the traveler. Well, here to break this down for us is former Chief Operating Officer at Air Canada, Duncan D. Duncan, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thanks for having me, Tamara.
Am I like justified in having my mind blown like this, or is this something reasonable on Air Canada's part?
Look, I think that on the face of it, absolutely, this is bonkers, and you are absolutely justified in having your mind blown by this, and so are listeners for having their minds blown by this, because it's a situation that is absolutely aggravating for any traveler who faces this type of delay or cancellation. But clearly, airlines have to abide by passenger rights rules, which are enforced by the Canada Transportation Agency, which is a government agency. And, you know, the rules that are in place are there to protect the travelers, but also to make it clear to airlines what they are responsible for, not just in terms of refunds, but in this case, they're talking about compensation over and above the refund. So I think that the situation is a very complicated one, and I'm hoping that we get a chance to talk about a little bit more of that today.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the Canadian Transportation Agency's air passenger protection regulations. And what those regulations say in terms of when passengers need to be compensated, because my reading of those regulations this morning, it seems pretty clear that if you are told that your flight is being canceled, you know, 14 days or less before your flight, and this is due to, you know, the airline, something that the airline did. I mean, would crew constraints not fall under that? How do they make the claim that this is a safety issue?
Look, it's an absolute legitimate question, and it's a question that travelers have every right to ask. And so we're talking about pre-September rules and post-September rules. So pre-September, which we're in now, which obviously covers the situation described in the article, airlines are not required to provide compensation for travel that is disrupted for situations outside their control. So what does that mean? That means things like weather, government regulations, government failures. And in this case, if anybody has been paying attention to what's been going on in Canada since about April, what we've seen are tremendous government service failures at the airports, primarily at security, which is the responsibility of CATSA, and mm-hmm. at international arrivals, which is the responsibility of the Canada Border Services Agency, CBSA. Mm-hmm. And so in this case, when we're talking about safety-related crew constraints, that basically means crews are not, the airline is not able to simply tell crews to continue operating a flight beyond their duty day. So a duty day is what the government says is a safe number of hours a crew can operate any given day in any given month. And so what we've seen in Canada since April has been a tremendous amount of disruption at the airports. Last Friday, for example, the president of the Toronto Airport Authority came out and said that in the last few months, the rolling four-week averages showed that 60 flights every week were holding off-gate, so not at the terminal, but somewhere off the terminal, waiting to be allowed to come to the terminal to offload their travelers because the customs halls were so full. So whose responsibility is that? If a customs hall is so full, things are proceeding so slowly that things cannot proceed normally, and aircraft are being told to stay off the property of the airport until they can come in and offload their travelers, who's responsible for that? So clearly, in a case like that, you don't just have travelers who are inconvenienced. You have aircraft that are being held off gate for 2 to 3 hours. crews that are being held off gate 2 to 3 hours and accumulating the amount of time that they're allowed to work every single day. So when those crews exceed the number of hours they can work on a given day, the next flight they're going to operate is also impacted. And the next flight could be delayed or it could be canceled. So in this case, it becomes truly a safety issue because you can't simply tell the crew operate beyond the day that you're beyond the duty day that you've been authorized.
So we're, for anyone joining us now, we're speaking with Duncan Dee. He's the former chief operating officer at Air Canada. Mr. Dee, from what I understand from this Globe and Mail article, Air Canada put out a directive, a memo to their employees at the end of last year, basically telling their employees that, you know, if flight is canceled due to crew constraints, site safety issues, so that we don't need to pay compensation. Does crew constraints always mean that crew was held up for something outside of the airline's control, like what you're describing, like something at CBSA, for example?
Definitely not 100% of the time. But here again, I think the government plays a significant role. One of the things that's been reported in the media has been that pilots have been waiting upwards of a year to get their medical clearances from Transport Canada, when those clearances used to take 3 to 4 weeks. And so if there are crew constraints, which basically means not enough crews to operate a flight, then, you know, the government there even plays a significant role. But, you know, if we go back to safety, the safety, when you're talking about crew availability, crew constraints, almost always has to do with the number of hours a crew is allowed to operate under regulation and under contract. Mm-hmm. So when the airline talks about safety-related crew constraints, that basically means that they are not in a position to draft, that's the actual term, to draft crews to work a flight that exceeds the mandatory limits that are imposed to operate that flight safely.
Hmm. We know that Air Canada canceled a whole bunch of flights. Was that a month or two ago that they announced that they'd be canceling a bunch of flights because, you know, basically they I guess didn't have the staff to take care of them. But what do you see in the situation with Air Canada and other airlines right now? Are they still understaffed? Are airlines booking more flights than they have the capacity to actually fill from a staff?
Tamara, that's a great observation. Air Canada about a month ago canceled 9,500, almost 10,000 flights for the months of July and August, and so that's a huge number of cancellations during the summer travel peak. And so what Air Canada announced at the same time was that they actually retained 97% of their pre-pandemic workforce to operate less than 80% of their pre-pandemic schedule. So in fact, they built in quite a big buffer. So the issue about crew and employee limitations and shortages at least Air Canada and also at WestJet seems to be a little bit misunderstood. What's happened in Canada since about April, so over 4 months now, is you've had these service failures at the airports right across the country, but primarily Toronto and Montreal, which have impacted the ability of airlines to operate their normal planned schedule. So like what we talked about earlier, airline crews are a finite resource. They can't work 24 hours a day. There's a limit to the number of hours they can work every single day and cumulatively every single month. When you've got such significant delays like we've seen in Canada, you know, the Wall Street Journal reported that the top two delayed airports from May to July were both Pearson and Montreal airports, the two most important airports in the country. When that happens, you've basically got a situation that is outside an airline's control.
Yeah. Duncan Dee, we have to end it there. Duncan, thank you very much for your time. He's the former chief operating officer at Air Canada.